Will you turn with me today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Beginning at verse 14 we read, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." In the 17th verse of this passage that we have read, I wish to point out the two words, caught up. Here, this expression is in connection with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to the air. As we read, "We shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air." The Greek word translated caught up here means to take by force. And in other passages of the New Testament, it is translated in that way. Also, to snatch away. And that expression indicates the forcible meaning of the words. What power will be involved when this great event takes place? Now, there are over 300 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament alone. What an important theme it is, my beloved listener, and it never was so important than at this very hour. In fact, it is the next great event in God's prophetic program. There's nothing of prophetic scripture that needs to be fulfilled before his coming takes place. Every indication that we see today in the moral and political, social, religious realm only points the fact, according to the Bible prophecies, that his return is imminent, right at hand. I wish to briefly bring a few things before you today as to this being caught up, a wonderful hope for the believer. And I trust that the listener, if he is not a believer, may by this subject today, which is before us, the second coming of Christ, be made to realize the reality of it, the imminency of it, and turn to the Savior, that you too might be ready. Because the first point we wish to consider is that this caught up will be select as to the individuals taken. You notice in verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Now here, the apostle is not speaking to the world, but he is speaking to the true Christian, the born-again Christian. In 1 Corinthians 15, for instance, the apostle says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And there he is writing to those who are saints, the saints at Corinth. Now, a Christian is a saint. A saint is one who is made holy in Christ. And that is what takes place, dear friend, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You become a saint. You are made holy. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. It is the believer, then, who will be snatched away, who will be taken up when the Lord Jesus returns to the air. The world will not be taken up. The believer will leave the world. Before the Lord Jesus returned to heaven from the Mount of Olives, he said that he would come again. He told them. He sent the angels to say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The world saw him last on the cross. You know, the next time that the world sees Christ will be when he comes in judgment. But the believer, is going to see him in the air. We notice that there are indeed two stages of the Lord's second coming. What we're considering now and being caught up is referred to as the rapture, when he comes to the air to snatch away his own, his blood-bought people, to raise the bodies of the believing dead, and then to meet in the air and go to the Father's house. This will begin then for the world a 7-year period of great tribulation, and he will return with his saints to judge the world and set up his kingdom. No, there are not 2 second comings, but there are 2 stages of his second coming. And so he's coming for his own, and this is what is implied in being caught up when he comes to catch away his own. He is also coming with his own, and this has to do with his appearing. Now, next we wish to consider, in connection with this catching away, is that it is sure. It will definitely occur. The last word of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible is this, in Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." The Lord Jesus, in speaking of his return, says, "Surely I come quickly." You know, the world says such and such a thing is as sure as death. But you know, beloved, a Christian should not speak in this matter, because it's a very unlikely thing for a Christian to die. Did you know that? In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." But the believer is one who, when he trusts Christ as Savior, passes from death unto life. He may go into the article of death, but death is as a sleep. Sleep to the body. But when he departs this world, his spirit and soul goes to be with Christ, which is far better. So we are not waiting for death. We are waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus, for himself to appear in the air. And there's where we're going to meet him. For the believer, death and judgment is behind him. Grace and glory are before. Beloved friend, every believer is on the resurrection side. And we're not looking for death, but we're looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this your hope? It may be. But now notice a third thing. The catching away of the saints will be secret as to the method. That is, the world will not know except through the absence of those that it has seen here, those Christians who have given witness to Christ, those who have been marked out as witnessing for him. It's a very solemn matter. Someday the world will wake up and find that every Christian has been taken out of it. Some ungodly, unconverted husband will wake up and find that his godly wife is gone. Some children will find their parents are gone. Some parents may find their children are gone. Oh, friend, the very thought that Jesus is coming, and it'll be secret, and it'll be sure, it'll be select, ought to awaken everyone to the reality of it, to be ready. It's also going to be sudden when it takes place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Oh, how fast! There'll be no opportunity to get ready. The only opportunity to get ready is now, while you hear the word. The believer is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In an atom of time, so to speak. So small it can't be reckoned, cannot be analyzed. This momentous change is going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You may be at some meeting, you may be at your work, you may be at your play. The change will come, and this mortal shall put on immortality. I'm speaking to the believer. In a moment, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And in that moment, we shall be in our glorified state. What a wonderful thing to think of this. Those that have already departed are in the glory as to their spirit and soul, their conscious being. Their bodies are not there yet. The believers that have died don't have glorified bodies yet. No, this awaits the second coming of Christ. that awaits the rapture. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. Now, our loved ones are in the conscious presence of Christ. They're consciously happy, but they're not in their glorified bodies yet. This will not be until the Lord Jesus comes back again to the air. Then we, with them, who are alive at the time, will be changed. These bodies will be like the glorified body of our blessed Lord. Wherefore we may well cry indeed, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Next, we'll notice that this catching away of the believer will be saving in its issue. In Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, we read, "We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change this body of humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory." Oh, how this Holy Spirit loves to bring before us the personal pronouns that relate to the Lord Jesus. There are four particular passages in Scripture that bring before us this: we shall meet him. Meet him. We shall see him. We shall be like him. We shall be with him. The second coming of Christ, indeed, will save us from a lot of difficulty. It'll take us out of the world of trouble. But that is not the main attraction at all for the believer. It is Christ that we are longing to meet. It is Christ that we wish to see. It is Christ that we are going to be like. It is Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we are going to be with. You know, it's going to be heaven to meet him and see him and be with him, to see that face that was once marred more than any man's, the one that was lifted up on the cross for us, and to look into his hands and his feet, his side, and realize that from those wounds flowed the blood that brought us there to the glory. It is Christ that has won our hearts. If he has not won yours yet, beloved listener, he desires to do so. He wants you to know that he came into the world and went to the cross and died for you, that you might be prepared, that you might be a part of the select company, that you might be of those who believe that Jesus died and rose again, believing that Jesus died for your sins and rose again for your justification. This is what will put you in the select company of those who will be caught up. Then we shall be with him and like him forever. In regards to this, we shall notice that the outcome will be entirely satisfying. The psalmist said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness." There's nothing else that can satisfy the heart of the believer than the Lord himself. Not a thing. In fact, the human heart can only be satisfied by God, by Christ. When we see him, when we're like him, when we're with him, when we meet him, we shall be satisfied there in the glory with himself. In Revelation 22, verses 3 to 5, we have seven distinct shells, things which shall definitely be, without a doubt. First of all, there's going to be in the glory perfect holiness. For we read, "There shall be no more curse, nothing more of that which brings the curse, which is sin. Therefore there is perfect holiness." Can you conceive of a place where there's no more sin? Doesn't your heart long for it? Oh, dear friend, you have salvation from sin now. You can become a saint now. You can be made holy in Christ now by putting your trust in Christ and repenting of your sins to him. But there's coming a day when you'll enter the realm of perfect holiness. Also, there shall be perfect rule. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. How contrasting to today. We see the striving forces of earth, the governments of this world. That which is spurred on by the God and Prince of this present age. But the time is coming when the one whose right it is to rule shall rule with a rod of iron, and he shall exercise his place and authority as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then also there's a time coming when he catches us away to be with himself, when there will be perfect service. How imperfect is service now for him? But his servants shall serve him with a perfect service. We shall not, dear friend, lack in any way of expressing full praise. Then, Savior, thou shalt have full praise. We soon shall see thee as thou art. We shall serve him without weariness. We'll serve him and praise him without obstacles. There also, we notice, shall be perfect vision. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see his face. Just imagine looking into the face of this blessed Savior. Then our hearts will be filled with praise and worship that will continue throughout the endless ages of eternity. The next expression tells us of the perfect likeness that we shall bear to him. We shall be like him, we have quoted. Here it says, his name shall be in their foreheads. All that his name implies, all that it stands for, the Savior, the perfect work, that which he has procured for us, oh, we shall share with him. Redemption's glories he will share with us. There shall be perfect likeness, morally and physically, to himself. And then we read, there shall be no night there. Oh, those long nights, that which speaks of the entrance of sin. Forever gone, there'll be perfect day. In the light of his presence, there'll be no need of the sun. This, dear friend, is heaven, and this is perfect glory. They shall reign forever and ever. Oh, what a portion it is. Revelation 22, 3-5, read it, and may your heart be touched by it. Does this not satisfy the heart? It does. This is what the believer is waiting for. And this is what this being caught up will bring us into. Oh, don't be left out of it, dear friend. Grant that today that you will truly come to the Savior where you are. The way to be made ready to be part of the select company is to simply come as a sinner and accept Christ Jesus as your Savior. In repentance, own you have sinned, and in faith, receive him as your Savior and Lord. Finally, this catching away, when laid hold upon in anticipation now, for we wait for the Savior, we read that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I speak to believers again. As long as we're left in this world, we are holy in Christ. God expects us who are believers to be holy in practice. He puts before us the second coming of Jesus to produce this. We've sometimes seen on walls and homes, do nothing that you would not like to be found doing when Jesus comes. Say nothing that you would not like to be found saying when Jesus comes. Go nowhere where you would not like to be found when Jesus comes. Yes, the second coming of Christ as the hope of the believer is a purifying hope. God grant that everyone who knows him as Savior will diligently wait and watch for him. And in so doing, will be found pleasing to him when that shout comes. When we hear him say, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, caught up, snatched away by force. Nothing can hold us back to meet the Lord in the air. May God bless this passage to us. I ask that you turn to it and read it again, 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 17, and you will indeed find comfort in these words. May God bless his word to every listener.